Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend is Labor Day weekend, a weekend to celebrate the hard work that Americans do, and I think that's a good thing. Work is important, and it brings blessings and benefits to everyone involved in it. Now, many people in our country and other places have a negative view of work. People see work as drudgery, as something they have to suffer through in order to get to the weekend. As the song says, everybody's working for the weekend, right? People live for their weekends. They just want to get through so that they can get to the weekend. People think that work is some kind of punishment that God imposed on human beings for being sinful. That is not the case. Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 sets us straight about that. Good, meaningful work that helps people is a blessing from the Lord. Let me share with you three important truths the Bible teaches us about work. Number one, we are created to work. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Genesis 2, verse 15. As I said, lots of people think work is a punishment from God because of sin, but the book of Genesis sets us straight. God literally creates Adam and puts him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's his job. That's Genesis 2. The fall of humankind doesn't happen until Genesis 3. Sin doesn't enter the world till then. Work was already there before the fall. God made Adam and Eve and gave them the work of taking care of the garden and to look after the animals and name the animals. People are created to work. People are created to tend and care for the other living things in creation. Adam and Eve didn't stand around eating apples all day. They had work to do. That work was not drudgery. It was fulfilling, it was meaningful, and it was a joy. But that joy didn't last. Everything changed when Adam and Eve sinned against God. When they ate from the tree that God commanded them not to eat, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then their work turned from joy into drudgery because of the curse of sin. Genesis chapter 3 says, cursed is the ground because of you, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So when Adam and Eve sinned, everything changed. Everything becomes cursed. Their bodies are cursed. They're now going to experience sickness and suffering and eventually physical death. The ground is cursed. It brings forth weeds and thorns and thistles. And everything they do is cursed, including work itself. The reason that it's so hard to go back to work on Monday, well, it's all Adam and Eve's fault. No, not really. You see, all have sinned. Therefore, all of us suffer the curses of sin in our own life. The fact that we suffer, the fact that we have pain and death in our life are proof that we ourselves are sinners and just as much responsible for the world we live in as Adam and Eve are. We have everything that the curse of sin brings, including sickness and pain and work turning into drudgery. But that's not how God intended it. God intended work to be a joy. And in Christ, for the Christian, some of that joy is restored to our work. Because we realize that our work, whether it's work that we get a paycheck for, or the incredibly hard work of taking care of a family or working in the home. Some things, some work we get paid for, some work we don't get paid for. But whatever work we do, we'll always have many difficulties and challenges in this world. We also realize that work has a deeper and more meaningful purpose. We are literally created to do good works. That's our purpose, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's good work, created to do good works. That's what we're literally created for. That's the purpose of our life here on earth. And once we realize that, it changes everything. We found out that work itself is not a curse, but a blessing from the Lord. Let me share with you two of those blessings from work. Number two, the blessings of work. Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The first blessing of work is that it blesses ourselves. It blesses us when we do it. It's one of the means God uses to meet our needs. All hard work brings a profit. Mere talk leads only to poverty. When we work, it's going to bring profits. It will be profitable. It will be a blessing to us. You know, we pray each week, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what we're supposed to do. But God usually doesn't answer that prayer by putting a loaf of Wonder Bread in our mailbox the next day, does he? God provides for us through means, and the means he provides for our physical needs is work. We're praying that God gives us the employment, the work, to meet our own needs, and bless that work so that we might have our daily needs met. This is all part of God's good and gracious plan. And in our current economy, money is typically how our physical needs are met. A lot of people think the Bible teaches that money is evil. That is false. The Bible does not say money is evil. Money is an actual need that all people have. The Bible does not say money is evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's what 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says. Being greedy is evil and sinful. Making a lot of money because you worked really hard for that, that's a good thing. Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, lazy hands make for poverty. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. You know, the book of Proverbs has some really practical wisdom, doesn't it? All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Through hard work, our needs are met, and that is a blessing from the Lord. But that's not the end of the blessings. That's just the beginning. Because when you do hard work, it doesn't just bless you, it blesses other people as well. So the two blessings of work is, number one, it blesses you. Second thing, blesses other people. Ephesians 4:28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Through hard work, we gain wealth, and that in turn enables us to bless other people. Sometimes, like Ephesians 4 tells us to do, it's directly by giving to someone else, sharing our abundance with those who are in need. And that is a great good work in God's sight. Giving and charity are good things to do. God didn't call us to be greedy, but to be generous and help those in need. Of course, there's more benefits than just the needy. Through our work, we help meet the needs of our family. And that's what God says should be our first priority. We should help those in our own family. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his own household, he is worse than an unbeliever. That's powerful. What the Lord says there to us, that providing for our family is not optional for the Christian. It is a necessary good work that God wants us to do. Work directly blesses the people you love the most, your family. Now, there's other blessings to hard work as well. By exchanging our work for that which we need, we are blessing our neighbor. We're directly serving our neighbor. Think about how many people you bless each day through your vocation or through your occupation, through your paid work and through your volunteer or unpaid work. By getting up and going to work, by doing the work God calls you to do, you meet your own needs, you serve your neighbor, and you make the world a better place. It's amazing to see all the good works that are done by people just doing their jobs, how many people help each other and meet each other's needs. Think of where we would be if it weren't for all the work, the important and necessary work of farmers and truck drivers and plumbers and electricians, parents and daycare workers, doctors and nurses. List goes on and on and on. Work is not a curse, my friends. It is one of the greatest blessings in this world, and it is a way we can bless not only ourselves, but our neighbor as well. If it weren't for all those people doing their jobs, nobody's needs would be met, and we would all be really hungry right now. But as we work together, we continue to meet the needs of others. You see, work is the opposite of drudgery. It's a privilege. It's a great privilege that we get to participate in. It is a miracle. It is a blessing from the Lord. And it is especially a blessing when you have the right boss. Number three, our real boss. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward, It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Wouldn't it be great if you had the perfect boss? Someone who is brilliant, kind, caring, knows what to do in every situation. Someone who likes you more than you like yourself. Someone who always has your best interests at heart. Working for someone like that would not be drudgery. It would be a joy. Well, I have good news for you today. You do work for a boss like that, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is your real boss. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, it doesn't matter, as far as our earthly boss goes, what kind of person we're working for. All of us are working ultimately for the same boss, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means boss, by the way. That makes all the difference. Unlike earthly bosses, Jesus remembers every good thing you do. He sees everything you do. And not only sees it, he remembers it. Matthew 10:42, Jesus says that if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, that person will certainly not lose his reward. Notice, Jesus notices every good thing you do, every kind action, every time you listen to someone who needs a friend, every time you meet the needs of someone else, Jesus knows it, and he doesn't just notice it, he remembers it. And he says he will reward you for it. What kind of reward? I'm not sure. But Jesus never forgets even the smallest good thing that someone does in his name. Remember what Jesus said to the sheep? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. The sheep say, when? Jesus replies, whatever you did for the least of these, you've done it for me. But of course, the greatest thing Jesus has in store for us is his eternal inheritance, everlasting life in heaven itself. Nothing is greater than that. The Lord has reserved a place just for you in his very presence, in his home, in his everlasting mansions of glory. You see, there is no boss like Jesus Christ. No one kinder, no more loving, no one who knows you and loves you and ultimately has your best interests at heart. That's why Paul tells us, whatever we do, work at it with all your heart, because you're working for the best boss in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes that again in 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.